Thank God for the reading of His most precious and sacred word. Tonight, our devotion is entitled, In Praise of God's Watchful Care, taken from Psalm 124. We shall later sing a closing hymn, Does Jesus Care? Does Jesus Care? Three thoughts for our consideration as we meditate upon God's presence in the believer's life. He cares, verse 1 to 5. Thanksgiving for His care, verse 6 to 7. And confident of future care, verse 8. Our Lord's watchful care over His people is the theme of this psalm, because He cares, therefore He acts according to His love for us, His concern for our well-being. This is the testimony of the psalmist as he pens the good hand of God's deliverance for Israel. By six imageries, he's going to describe to us how God delivered him in many difficult circumstances, oftentimes near-death situations, to describe the imminent danger of God's people and the power of our Lord that delivered them. God wants us to know that we are a protected people, that when you name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not living alone, struggling on your own, but God is with you to care for you, to help you. He's watching over you and taking care of your needs, moment by moment, day to day, day by day, until you have reached the final destination that He has prepared for you in heaven. And the Lord wants us to understand His presence with us. This psalm gives us confidence in our earthly sojourn of God's constant, consistent, and conscientious care for His people. Our Lord does not sleep on His job. The Lord neither slumber nor sleeps. He is ever careful, ever watchful over us. Humanly speaking, we find ourselves oftentimes inadequate to take care of the people around us. But we know that we have a God whom we can entrust to take care while we cannot. And we rejoice to be counted as God's children, as men and women, boys and girls under the care of God. What a great privilege that He bestows upon us. And God wants us to be reminded. Oftentimes the trials come before us, so much so that we become so wrapped up in the whole situation of our predicament that we are unable to see the greater light, the hand of God taking care of us, being there, present with us. This is a psalm of David who testified the watchful care of God over the span of his entire life. And God wants us to know that after you have committed your life to Him, that He will take care of you, and that His care for you will not become weak, but an unabated presence. And the Lord wants us to know in every trouble, God will be there. And David testified that God was there to protect, to guide, to guard him. When he confronted Goliath, you know, Goliath is many times his size. The power that Goliath is able to wield was something that was beyond him. And yet, God helped him to triumph in his name, in the name of the Lord of hosts. Right? There is power in the blood, power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? When we call upon him, when we seek him, he's able to help us. And the Lord wants us to know and be acquainted and to be walking in his will. Why was Goliath flawed just by one little stone from a sling? Because it was the will of God that his enemies will not prevail over his people who loved him, who served him, who were doing his will as a witness for him to all the nations of the world. Of course, God will show himself powerful. God will glorify his own name in the midst of his people. 2 Samuel 22 is possibly an expanded account of this psalm. In it, the psalmist shows us in great detail how the Lord cared for him. And it's important that we take note of God's presence in our life, right? You have prayed, sought the Lord, and how the Lord answered your prayer. You know, let us not forget so easily what God had done for us. You know, daily, a year ago, 2 years ago, we have called upon the Lord and he has helped us. And how he has helped us, let us not so easily forget. Right? Let us count our blessings. And as we count them one by one, wow, you realize that, you know, you're such a happy person. The more you think about it, the more you rejoice. And it gives you the kind of a confidence as you move forward in life, as you think of your current predicament. Will not God help you? Surely he will help you. The Lord is described as his rock, his fortress, his deliverer. When the waves of death compassed him, the floods of ungodly men made him afraid. God gave him a strength within him so that he would say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men shall do unto me." Do you have that confidence? And in his distress, he testified, "In my distress, I called upon the name of the Lord and cried to my God. And he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter his ears." Every time we go on our knees and pray because of somebody in the family that is in trouble, and you cry out to the Lord, will God not hear? Of course God will hear. God will certainly help you. And oftentimes when we cry out, we feel the helplessness of the situation. How come the situation is like that? How come no improvement? How come this and that? Right? But as we call upon the Lord, he engulfs us with a sense of his presence that steals our hearts and causes us to be strengthened. He cares, verse 1 to 5. That's the first thought. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us. He says, as a matter of fact, that the Lord was indeed helping us. The Lord was indeed on our side, and we were delivered from the calamities that befell us. This is a sense of the two negatives. So you notice, if it had not been the Lord, right? If it had not been the Lord, twice it is emphasized here. If God had not intervened, right? And he says it as a fact. You see, and God wants us to know it as a truth, as a fact that God will help you. And we need to be assured again and again and again, Because the trial that he gives you today is like this. Right? The next day, it could be like this. And then another day, it could be like this. And as you face a greater trial daily, as you walk with him, as you experience victory, would you become afraid? As the trial becomes greater, as the challenge becomes more intense before you, well, the psalmist says, if it had not been the Lord. And God wants us to have that confidence, right? To have that assurance in our heart, right? That God will not forsake you, right? Our Lord Jesus Christ gave that assurance, right? That not one of his children will be lost, right? He says to the Father. And our Lord Jesus Christ, seated at the right hand of the Father, well, praying for us, ensuring that we will not be lost, ensuring that we will be kept safe because of his power, because of his presence, pleading for us. Is there someone who can intercede for us unceasingly? Well, our Lord Jesus Christ is doing just that, at the right hand of the Father. And his care for each one of his children, it's not diminished because there are so many of us. Right? But he has that personal attention upon you. Right? He has that personal care for you. Jesus says that not one hair on your head that drops, the Lord will not be aware. God knows what is going on in your life, that you are so precious to him, that everything that happens to you, it is under his sovereign knowledge and thus his care. So the psalmist testified. He says in 2 Samuel 22, verse 20, he brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands has he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly depart from my God, for all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also upright before him, and have kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of, according to my cleanness in his eyesight. Wow. The psalmist was able to say, are we able to say it like this? Well, because we have kept close to the Lord. Where we have sinned, we have confessed our sins before him and seek for his forgiveness. We know, right, there is no rebuke in the heart. And you have that kind of a confidence when you come before him. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. And with the upright, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. The afflicted people of God, thou wilt save. But thy eyes are upon the haughty, that thou mayest bring them down. For thou art my lamb, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. He testified that he walked in holiness before God. Where he has sinned, he confessed his sin. God forgave him. Not sinless perfection, but holiness, living with the fear of God in the heart. Do you have that kind of a fear of God in your heart? That there is the understanding of not wanting to offend God. And there is a heightened awareness, there is a heightened sense of watchfulness, right, in your life. The Lord develops it in our hearts, in our lives, as we go through the process of sanctification day by day, as God reveals sin to us through His Holy Spirit, right, we know these things are evil. These things the Lord does not like. And so those are the things that we choose, we sought, we seek to depart from. Right? Those things that God wants us to do, we will do. And for the child of God, walking with God, it doesn't mean that, you know, it will be a smooth journey. In fact, the psalmist describes life as quite tough. He used many images, in fact, six images from verses 3 to 7 to describe the danger that came in his pathway. James Boyce, in his commentary, he puts it well. He says in verse 3, an animal swallowing its prey. Verse 4a, a flood submerging its victims. A torrent rushing over everything. 4b, water sweeping everything before them. Verse 5, an animal grinding its prey. Verse 6, a bird entangled in a trap. Verse 7. And the Lord wants us to see, and He describes all this dangerous scenario before us. You never know when the weather will turn bad, when you'll be caught in a storm, and when you will need deliverance and help. But the Lord will be there for you. All these scenarios of danger and deliverance attest to the fact that God does care, and He acts to deliver His people out of their afflictions. And our Lord is living and a very present help in trouble. So making an appointment with the Lord to come for prayer is an understanding that you need the Lord, and to acknowledge His care in your life, and to come before Him in thanksgiving. You are willing to devote the time. You are willing to say, I would want to keep this appointment with God, because it's my appointment with my Lord, and no one can come in between that appointment with my Lord. Not my work, not any other thing, but my relationship with my Lord. It is that durable and strong that it causes me to want to come before Him, to kneel before Him, to praise before Him, because I have that vibrant relationship. Do you have that relationship? The Lord wants us to cultivate and establish such a relationship with Him. Verse 6 and 7, thanksgiving for His care, right? To know that He cares and to thank Him for all that we have received. Oftentimes we would have received, and we have received, and we have received, but we fail to give thanks, to acknowledge, to praise Him for all that the Lord has given us. And sometimes He had to jot us up to let us know that, hey, what happened in our lives? Have we forgotten Him? We have been blessed by Him. And why is it that our heart has become cold, has become lukewarm? Why is it like that? And oftentimes God would send some calamity our way, something that would come our way, just like in the time of the judges. Right, they would go after their idols, and then the Lord will send the enemy to come, and they would be so afflicted. Right, then they would cry to the Lord, and then the Lord would deliver them. But the Lord doesn't want us to live in that way. Right, but He wants us to know that He's present with us, and that we are grateful for all that He has done for us always. And we need to cultivate that attitude of thanksgiving. We need to cultivate that attitude of a praise, right? Because it brings joy to the heart. You know, when you praise God, it brings joy to your heart. Because you are turned from you have a right perspective, a correct perspective of what is going on in your life. And the Lord wants us to not deviate and depart from a correct perspective. So the psalmist says in verse 6, "Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snares of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped." The trap. There's a trap there. And yet the Lord provides a way out of that trap. "The Lord liveth," the psalmist says, "blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation." 2 Samuel 22:47. "It is God that avenged me, that bringeth down the people under me, and hath brought forth me forth from my enemies. Thou hast also lifted me up high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent men. Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name." He is the tower of salvation for his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, unto David and to his seed forevermore. Let us worship and bless our Lord, who truly cares for us. He wants us to know, and he wants us to acknowledge. He cares, thanksgiving for his care, and confident of future care. Verse 8, "Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth." When we call upon God in the name of Jesus Christ, each one of us, the children of David, the children of Christ, well, the Lord follows through to help us. Our help is in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You know, as we share the good news of the gospel, what is it that causes a person to be renewed in the heart? When his sins are pointed out, and when he realizes that he has no escape, and that he realizes that he must confess his sin, and he realizes that he must make right with God. He has no other way to go. He's, as it were, cornered. When we are willing to confess our sins, when we are willing to repent of our sins with a broken and a contrite heart, that's where we find strength. And the Lord is pleased with us. Our help in the name of the Lord. He is before all things, by him all things consist. That's our God. All things comes from him. And Jesus is God's final revelation to mankind, and no further. He is the theme of the Bible, the theme of every psalm, the theme of the saints' worship for all eternity. And it gives us confidence that we are safe in the care of Jesus now and for all eternity. And as we meditate upon God's care for his people, it must give us great comfort and encouragement. Our hearts leap for joy as we contemplate the truth that God does care, indeed now and forever. Amen. Father in heaven, we affirm indeed that you care. And because you care, and that we are thy children, therefore we can rest assured in our trials, in our afflictions, that we will not waver, but continue to have faith to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and to call out to Him, to cry out to Him, and to experience peace, joy, deliverance. Lord, we thank Thee for who You are. We cannot describe it, for You are a spirit, but we know of Your care and Your presence by what happens to us in our life. Lord, we praise Thee, and we ask that Thou keep us strong, keep our hearts in thanksgiving always. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.